One of the hallmarks of terrorism is the fear that ordinary events can be targeted. So can major ones. Large sporting events are iconic in nature. Think of the World Cup of football/soccer, the final game of which draws a worldwide audience of 1 billion people. That's billion with a B. This was for the 2014 edition in Brazil, where Germany defeated Argentina. For Americans, it is, of course, Super Bowl, which is the cat's pajamas. As a Canadian, the Stanley Cup Championship, or the Olympic hockey gold medal game, is what brings my nation to a halt. I will leave it to others to weigh in on why this is so. If you think of it dispassionately, why do so many people drop everything to take in a bunch of men, usually men, although women's professional sports are growing too, playing a boys' or a girls' game? Whatever the reason or reasons may be, there is no question that these events are hugely popular as well as humongous moneymakers. When it comes to running, there's nothing as big as the Boston Marathon. Run every April since 1897. Yes, that is 1897. It attracts 30,000 runners who seek to finish the 26.2 miles, or 42 kilometers if you are in the metric world. Some do it in just over 2 hours. More importantly for this blog, it also acts as a magnet for upwards of 500,000 spectators. That's 500,000 people. Yes, they are spread along the length of the course, but that is a lot of people. Why this matters here is that if you're a terrorist, you want to have as large a crowd as possible when you carry out your attack. This is why we have seen assaults on shopping malls and vehicular attacks on pedestrian areas. The 2016 van attack in Nice killed 86 people. So, combine a large crowd, and one that is widely distributed and hence impossible to secure, with a large television/social media audience, and you have a perfect combination that would appeal to a terrorist. Hence we get the 2013 Boston Marathon bombings. Tamerlane and Jokhart Tsarnaev, brothers from Chechnya aged 26 and 19 respectively, planted 2 pressure cooker bombs near the finish line and they exploded, killing 3 bystanders and wounding at least 264 people. The Tsarnaevs were eventually found. The elder was killed in a gun battle with police, while the younger was located, arrested, tried, convicted, and sentenced to death in 2015. He is appealing his scheduled execution. It is hard to ascertain what U.S. law enforcement and security intelligence authorities could have done to prevent the bombings. There was some information on Tamerlane, but it is far from certain this was enough to take action. In some ways, it is surprising we do not see more plots of this nature against sporting events. Let's hope the terrorists don't figure this out. P.S. As an aside, 2 Canadians who were convicted and later acquitted based on a terrible appeal court decision, in my honest opinion, of planting pressure cooker bombs on the grounds of the provincial legislature in Victoria, British Columbia, timed to explode on the afternoon of Canada Day, less than 3 months after the Boston attack, took their inspiration from the Tsarnaev brothers. Hi, this is Phil Gursky, President and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Ottawa, Canada. Thank you for listening to this episode of Today in Terrorism, where we look at what happened on this day in the past and what it means for today. I'd love to hear what you think of the content here at Borealis. You can email me at borealisrisk@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @BorealisSaves, or on LinkedIn or on Facebook. You can also subscribe to all my content, Today in Terrorism, Quick Hits, Perspectives, and other media by going to my website, www.borealisthreatandrisk.com, and clicking this subscribe button on the top right of the screen. You will receive all the content free of charge to your inbox on a daily basis. That's it for today. I'll talk to you again tomorrow for another episode of Today in Terrorism. Until then, stay safe.